The Beatitudes are the path of holiness that Jesus himself lays down right in front of us in chapter 5 of Matthew, before all of the mystics talked about the stages of the spiritual life or the levels with which we must ascend in order to enter into God in heaven. Jesus himself reveals this secret right there before our eyes, and we often fail to see it. In today's video, we will go into the sixth beatitude and how it completes the first six in order to prepare us for the final three. If you would like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Now, there are different ways that we can count the Beatitudes. One way that we can see them, let me suggest to you, is this. We can see them as seven. Six that are these layers of preparation, and a seventh one shown in three different parts. The seventh one being the perfection of the Christian disciple in his service to God. And we can serve God in three ways according to the Beatitudes. First, as a peacemaker. Second, being persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And the highest level, being persecuted for Jesus himself wrongly, just as he was falsely accused. Let's take a look at the sixth Beatitude to see how these six fit together. When I first began this series, I spoke about these relating to the different parts of the body. Two for the feet, two for the hands, two for the eyes. The first six showcasing how we walk, how we grab, how we see. And for each of those, two is of primal importance. It gives us that, so to speak, 3D vision. First, we remember, blessed are the poor in spirit, meaning our feet are detached from the things of earth. Then, blessed are they who mourn. Our feet are detached from our previous sins. We can think about this as being fully purgated. Next, blessed are the meek, meaning those that allow their hands to be held by God and to be led by God. And then, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, meaning the things that we grab after aren't the things of earth or earthly food, but rather hungering for God, primarily in the Eucharist. Next, the two ways of seeing. Blessed are the merciful, seeing others through the mercy of God, through the wounds of Jesus, as different mystics have said, that the Father sees us through the wounds of Jesus, so we must have that type of vision. And finally, the one that has the greatest reward and therefore leads into the seventh one, which is divided into three parts, or you can count them as three separate Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Now, we who speak about this in a superficial and earthly way, many people only see this having to do with purity, meaning without lust. And that is certainly true, but this is so much more than that. It goes far beyond seeing with lust or not seeing with lust. What does it really mean to see with purity? One of the ways that this can be defined is to have a singular vision, to only see one thing. Think about this. Think about when water is purified. What does that really mean? You're removing everything that is not essential and allowing the thing to be simplified, only being one thing. In this way, when we look at other people, we're seeing so many different things. Our own woundedness, our own biases, our own prejudices, our own false ideas do not allow us to see the thing that is right in front of us. Think about the purity of vision that the souls in purgatory have. Do you remember from my previous videos, what is the only thing that they care about? The only thing that they want? God, the glory of God. And what does that mean? That for God to be made manifest in the physical realm, for the physical realm to showcase all of God's glory. This is what it means to have purity of heart, for us to see God in everything. The different saints have spoken about this in many different ways. Saint Ignatius is one that talks about seeing God in all things. There was this one particular saint, I'll put her name here, I believe she was possibly a blessed, and once she had this vision. She looked at all of nature and all these other things that were just in front of her, and on everything was written in golden letters the word goodness, because she saw how everything participates in God's own being. Everything reflects to us something of God. Now, with that same idea, everything, it's possible, can fail to show us aspects of God. This is the problem with humans. We only look at others and other things and seeing how they fail to reflect God. This is where we fall into judgment, one of the most serious sins that we can carry. Because in judging others, we take the place of God and therefore make ourselves God. Rather, we must see God in all other things. First of all, beginning with ourselves. When you look in the mirror, do you see an image of God? Be honest. What do you tell yourself? Do you speak about, wow, look at this beautiful image of God. Look at how beautiful you are. Look at how your eyes and your skin and your face reflect the beauty of God. Is that what you say? I talk to many people in my counseling practice, and I could guess from those people, the rest of humanity, that we don't. We critique ourselves. We criticize ourselves. We only see the ways in which we are lacking. And think about that. If we're only looking at the evil, what is evil? Evil is a lack of good. It's not a thing in and of itself, but rather a lack. If we only see what is evil and we ignore God, we, with that very action of seeing, are failing to see the work of God in that object or in that person. Everything that exists, exists in God, you and I. Why are we here? We are here, as this one priest I heard said, because God is holding us in the palm of his hands. We exist in his own existence. Everything, even the smallest worm and rock and piece of dirt, it's speaking to us about God. It's preaching to us if you only have the ears to hear and the eyes to see. That's why this beatitude contains within it the greatest reward. If you look at all the different beatitudes that it speaks about, blessed are for, you receive something for having that trait. What do you get for being pure of heart? For they shall see God. I don't know about you, but that's the best reward that we can receive. Imagine if you were to step out wherever it is that you live, whether it's beautiful or ugly, whether it's in the middle of the desert or in a beautiful forest or somewhere else, if you were to see God in everything, no matter what, this is what happens with the saints. It is often noted that the saints could look at a blade of grass and go into ecstasy, because they could see in that tiny object God's humility, that he was holding it in existence with his very own being. We, in our arrogance, only want to see God in the most beautiful place, in the place that we think reflects God most perfectly, thereby judging where we think God should be. Rather, God is everywhere. There isn't a place that is where God is not. Think about that. And if everywhere that is, God is there also, then purity of vision helps us to see that. When we see God everywhere, we can't lust. We can't lust even if we try. Why? What is lust really about? Lust is a hunger for something that's gone crazy. What are we really hungering for? What are we hungering and thirsting for? We are thirsting for a vision of God. And yet God in his generosity is giving it to us all the time. Our eyes simply do not have the capacity to see it. So someone who is granted purity of vision only sees one thing. He doesn't see trees. He doesn't see the sun. He doesn't see men or women or children. He doesn't see that. He only sees one thing. He sees God reflected out there in a multitude of different ways. And in doing so, his heart and his soul are satisfied, and he doesn't need to hunger. He doesn't need to lust, because he is being deeply fed by this vision that he is seeing. The call of the last three Beatitudes, which are truly, in essence, one singular thing, these three different ways in which we can serve God, we will never be able to accomplish them unless these first six foundations are laid down firmly, that we are poor in spirit and detached from the things of earth, that we are purified from our prior sins, that we have mourned them sufficiently, that we are meek and allow ourselves to be led by God, that we hunger and thirst for one thing only, the Eucharist, Jesus himself, that we see others with mercy, and that we see God everywhere. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God.